We're on part five about the will of God, and today we're going to talk about hindrances to the will of God.
And, you know, anytime if you have maybe a question that arises while we're teaching, if you put it up there, if we were to see it and can fit it in, we'll do so. We don't want you to feel like you can't participate or ask questions if you desire to do so. But we are excited about just being in the Word. Hello, Ed. God bless you, brother. Hope you're doing well. Kind of a foundational scripture we've used, 1 John chapter 5, 13 and 14, John says, if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. If we know he hears us, we know we have the petition that we desired of him. And we just kind of lunch off of that, because that verse tells us knowing God's will, it adds so much power to our prayers. It helps us to know that God moves upon us with his Holy Spirit. The Word of God reveals his will to us. And when all that comes together, it's kind of like we heard a preacher say one time, you know, that heaven kisses earth and we get caught in a smack. You know, that's where the good stuff happens.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah. That's the way Jesus lived his life. John chapter 5, I only do what I see the Father doing. So knowing God's will is so vitally important in a walk with God. And the Holy Spirit's going to always lead you into the will of God. The Word of God will always reveal the will of God. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things involved in that. And we've covered a number of things. Mm-hmm. We actually began the first few days looking at a number of scriptures that expressly says, for it is God's will, like 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so there's several places where it's just expressly stated, this is the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, and so forth. And so we went through some of those scriptures. And today, without going back through everything we've already gone through, today we want to begin to talk about some obstacles or hindrances, things that get in the way of our knowing God's will and certainly our doing God's will, because knowing God's will is just step one.
Step two.
Doing God's will. And we would add step three, we talked about this, is like actually doing God's will with the right motives. So that's the highest level of obedience, is doing the will of God from the heart, you know, for the right reasons. So we start talking about hindrances, kind of big picture idea. There's some forces always working against us to do concerning God's will.
Just the world itself, the system of the world.
Yeah. So it's just like there's a pressure around us, spiritually speaking, all the time, working against us to keep us from fulfilling God's will in the earth. So the world, the Bible tells us that the world's not going in the direction the Father wants us to go. So, and another one would be?
Flesh.
Yeah.
We all have it. We all have a fleshly nature, and when it's not submitted to the Father, not when we haven't allowed God to work in it, or we're not bringing that under his control, then it's his enemy.
Yeah. Got to remember, your flesh lives in the cemetery, folks. That's its abiding place. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And the old man doesn't like that. And we talk about the old man, the flesh, the fallen nature. So that's where our sinful desires arise out of. But we've been made into new creations in Christ. And that's where we're to live from, that new place that we have in Christ. Hey, Pastor Doc, good morning to you and Mike and Teresa as well. And then there's a third force at work against us to do God's will.
You might suspect the devil himself and all of his forces.
Yes, demonic forces are at work. The enemy will be at work to assault us, attack us, deceive us, seduce us. He is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he's got his own will. You know that Isaiah scripture that I believe kind of gives us a peephole into what happened in eternity past when Lucifer rose up and said, I will be like the Most High God. I will, I will, I will. Yeah, the devil has a will that's contrary to the Father's will. Jesus said, I came to do thy will, O God. And when Father said, "You're my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased," after Jesus was baptized, it says he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and there the enemy came and began to work against him. And so even Jesus was assaulted and attacked by the enemy, and to keep him from fulfilling God's will for his life. And we have that same assault against us that would keep us from doing the will of God. So those are big picture ideas, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we want to begin to talk a little bit now about some obstacles and hindrances in a more practical sense, knowing that the world may align with some of these, the enemy may be working through some of them, our flesh is involved in some of them. So, and this list could be longer than Granddaddy Longlegs' legs, you know. But we'll try to summarize here.
So the first one we wanted to talk about was doctrinal error, wrong beliefs. If you believe the wrong thing, then that's going to hinder you knowing what God's will is. And there are lots of things we could talk about this, like not really understanding who God is, what his heart is for us. Law and grace could be a big area here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we spent some time on that in our previous mm-hmm. series. But yes, having a wrong idea of who God is, and sometimes you can have some really good doctrinal beliefs. And doctrine's not a bad word. It's found in Scripture.
It's not boring either.
No, it speaks of a body of teachings that that should be rooted and grounded in the Scripture. There are doctrines of men, red X that, but then there's the doctrine that arises out of the Scripture. And sometimes there can be good doctrine that's misunderstood, like the sovereignty of God. I firmly believe in the sovereignty of God. That simply means that God is God and nobody else need apply. And that God never, you can't twist God's arm and make him not be God. At the end of the day, God is God. I mean, I believe it's a basic belief, but sometimes people may take a view of sovereignty that would even attribute to God everything that happens. Well, Jesus, God in the flesh, says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The nature of the devil is to kill, steal, and destroy. And so there's some things that the devil does. His will is not God's will. Now, God may use what the devil does. He did that at the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul, speaking to the enemy, said if he had known what God was doing, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, the Lord used the cross to turn the tables on the enemy and defeat him through the blood of the cross. So God's sovereignty allows him to do that, but never does it make him a participant in evil. Never does it violate his character or his attributes in any regard. So some people may have a wrong view of God that gives him credit for what the devil does. And so in that sense, that can keep you from rightly discerning the will of God in a situation.
It sure can.
For instance, some people would say that, you know, all sickness, you know, that God puts sickness on you, you know. Well, if you really believe that it's God's will for you to be sick, then it would be wrong and sinful to take medicine, or it'd be wrong to try to get well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to put all this together.
If you follow the line of thinking out, it breaks down, doesn't make sense.
I will say it this way. Human logic and deductive reasoning can be helpful in so many ways, but when you try to take human logic and deductive reasoning and apply it to all the truths of Scripture, it can get you in trouble sometimes. You know, you have to compare Scripture with Scripture. You can't take one Scripture and apply deduction to it, and that's where, you know, there's a, I don't want to get too far adrift here, but like some people would believe that when Jesus died, he did not die for everybody. It was a limited atonement. It was only for people that God had chosen to be saved. And yet, to me, the plethora of Scripture that we have teaches us that Jesus died for all men. He died not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. And so that's where you get into how doctrine I remember early in my ministry, someone who was of a theological persuasion that was very hyper-reformed and said, well, you don't need to be involved. We felt God calling us to do some missions work. No, God doesn't do it. If you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved. If you're going to be lost, you're going to be left, not anything you can do about it. But that's here's the problem with that. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, whosoever will, let him come. Man chooses to respond to the grace extended. Does the Holy Spirit move upon him to convict him and draw him? Absolutely. He does that through the preaching of the gospel and through the word. But, you know, Paul preaching to the king, he said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Paul said, I wish not almost, but altogether. You know, so I don't think anyone can stand before the Lord and say, I wanted to be saved. I heard the God wanted to be saved, but you wouldn't save me. No. The message of the cross is that Father is not willing that any should perish. So those are just some ways that what I would call wrong belief can lead you to wrongly interpreting what God's will might be.
Right.
And it could, there's so many other illustrations of that, but it's important we know what the Scripture teaches about who God is. Not only who God is.
Who we are.
Yeah. Say on.
Who we are in Christ. Our identity is very important, because if we know we're complete in Him and He, His plans for us are good and we're to be conformed to His image, it answers lots of questions about
Absolutely.
The will of God.
No matter what situation you're in, you can know it's God's will to use that to conform you more into the image of His Son. Sometimes not knowing who we are causes us to pray prayers that have already been answered. That Jesus has already procured certain benefits for us, and we're pleading and beating on the door of heaven, so to speak. And yet, like Peter said, that as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, I want to do what's right, but I'm just not able to do what's right. And, you know, I don't know what to do. Well, the Scripture says God will always, He gives you the grace to do His will. He's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus. In other words, knowing who Jesus is, knowing who you are in Jesus, allows you to have confidence that God will give me the grace to do it. Like, well, I believe this to be God's will, but I just can't do it. Well, if it's God's will, when you take the step of faith, grace will meet you there, and you will be enabled to do what God has given you to do. And sometimes people sit on the bleachers thinking the Lord's just going to grab them by the nape of the neck and thrust them forward and make them do something, when the Scripture says no. You have a measure of faith. When you step into that, grace will be available to do everything God's given you to do in order to live a godly and holy life. And so we're kind of like waiting on God when God's waiting on us. And I just believe that it's true. A lot of times we're praying for things that God's already says, it's yours. Carpe diem. Seize the day.
Go for it.
Yes. So we need to know who God is. We need to know who we are. And that's just one thing there. One hindrance can just be a wrong beliefs. And
So I
believe the Bible teaches us we can have assurance that we're saved. I believe the Bible teaches us that God wants you to know that you are His child. And yet some people's belief system, it's like, He loves me, He loves me not. I'm just not sure if I'm in or out. So I'm giving it my best. And I guess when I die, I'll find out. But particularly 1 John. John goes to great lengths to lay out the case that that you may know you have eternal life, but a wrong belief system will rob you from being able to live with assurance. And where that affects us is we become so internally focused, we're not sure if we're in or we're out, that we can't say, oh, I know who I am, and I am persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against the day. Now, I want to make sure somebody else knows. It's hard for you to lead somebody else to know what you yourself say, and you're not sure that you know. You know? So, again, just the right belief is so vitally important.
So how do you get the right beliefs? You study the Word and you follow people who are doctrinally grounded, who, you know, teach the Word correctly.
That's so important. Responding to the revelation that you're given through the Word enables you to receive additional revelation. Light receives allows more light to keep coming. Light rejected brings night. You know, it's kind of like closing the curtains. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can get stuck in our walk with the Lord because we're not being obedient to the things He has clearly spoken to us about. Get that lined up. Do the, make sure you've done the last thing the Lord told you to do. And more revelation will come forth. And so, yes, knowing the Scripture is really important. Having a heart to obey the Scriptures, learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. Again, this goes back to the right beliefs. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. That means that if the Holy Spirit's going to lead us, we need to know who He is. We need to know how He leads us. We need to know when it's Him, when it's not Him. Why? So that we can be led by Him. Why? So that our sonship will manifest. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. In other words, God wants you to know His child so that you can be led by His Spirit to do the things that His children have been called to do in the earth. And again, that's having the right beliefs. If you don't believe that's possible, if you don't believe that God's still speaking, if you don't believe you can be led by the Holy Spirit, or if you're minimizing the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, it can hinder you in moving forward in God's will.
Yes.
We went through a shift, a change in our belief concerning the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. And it required a lot of significant change for us. But wow, the doors that it opened for us when we understood that while there is so much more than we had believed there was. And so that would be the first hindrance. And I guess we're about out of time for today. And tomorrow we'll get into another area of hindrance. And it's going to be completely a different door we're going to step in tomorrow, because we want to start talking about how there can be generational issues that hinder us.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And we see some pictures of that in the Old Testament. And certainly we have information in the New Testament that tells us how that we have been liberated from those things.
So it was great to have you on here today. I don't think we got to say hi to everybody, but hey, Kathy, I see your name here. And Teresa, good to have you on this morning as well. And I know there were some others that came through, but thanks for tuning in. And Vandy, good to have you.
Hey, classmate.
So we will be back tomorrow morning at 10:30 to talk about generational issues that hinder us from knowing the will of God. So we hope you will be back here at 10:30. If you enjoyed today, hit the share button, and we'll see you then.
Yeah, and if you've ever wondered, like, you know, it seems like I struggle with the same thing my daddy struggled with, or, you know, my grandmom had the same issue, and it seems like I'm struggling with it. That's kind of stuff we're going to be talking about in the morning and how it relates to God's will for your life. All right.
Have
Love
a good
you
day.
All.